Welcome, dear friends, to the Message of Truth. What a delight to have you on that side of the radio. Wish you were right here. We could share with you. But, you know, we're trying to share the Word of God so that we all might grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. So take your Bibles and turn to the book of Gospel of John. 15 is our key chapter, but we're going to go back to 14. We already talked about 13. We're going to go to 14. And we're going to set the stage why the lessons that are taught in chapter 15 are there. I know the Holy Spirit put them there. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And so all we need to do is just know that God put them there. But I think there's a good reason why the setting is as it is, and we'll look at that. Father, I want to thank you for each one of these precious folk listening today. Lord, every one of them has particular needs, and I'm not sure what they are. I don't know what they are. You do. And you know, you've promised, Lord, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So you know what the need is. You know how to meet that need, and you know when it's proper to meet that need, and I pray that you'll be with them. Maybe our program is going out and folk are listening who are under great adversity and persecution. I pray you'll refresh and strengthen and encourage them. Guide us now as we engineer the program, and then as we present the message, that your name would be glorified, souls will be saved, Christians will be revived, encouraged. In Jesus' name, amen.
A beautiful morning when Jesus I shall see, a beautiful morning. With the trump he'll come for me, a beautiful morning. He'll take us all away, a beautiful morning. Yes, a beautiful day. I was lost in sin, one dark and gloomy night. I had no peace within, my soul just wasn't right. Then I met Jesus, and he took my sins away. Now I have a beautiful morning and a beautiful day, a beautiful morning. When Jesus I shall see, a beautiful morning. With the trump he'll come for me, a beautiful morning. He'll take us all away, a beautiful morning. Yes, a beautiful day. Now I love to speak of him and what he's done for me. How he came into my life and gave me victory. Jesus, with my whole heart, I love you in every way. Thank you for a beautiful morning and a beautiful day, a beautiful morning. When Jesus I shall see, a beautiful morning. Trump, he'll come for me, a beautiful morning. He'll take us all away, a beautiful morning. Yes, a beautiful day, a beautiful morning. Yes, a beautiful day.
Amen. A beautiful morning, beautiful day. Well, I'll tell you, when the Lord comes into one's heart and life, it becomes a beautiful day, a beautiful blessing. Yes, I trust you know the Lord as your personal Savior. I'm so thankful that, you know, the Lord, I tell people, some people have mentioned in John chapter 3 that Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. Well, I'm so glad he did. You know, I'm glad that you can come to Jesus at night, in the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening, no matter when, you can come to Jesus Christ. I came to him about 9:30 at night. And I don't know what time it was when Nicodemus came to the Lord, But whatever time it was the time to get right with God, and he did just that. What a wonderful thing. Beautiful morning, beautiful day. Now, we're looking at John chapter 14. We're trying to figure out, and not really trying to figure it out. We're just accepting it. But why did God put the wording of John chapter 15 here at the end of chapter 14? Now, I know 15 follows 14. You know, we said that. And it comes before 16. But why is it sandwiched in there? You know, I've often said that when you study the book of 1 Corinthians and you come to chapter 12, you see the gifts that God has given to the church and given to man. Chapter 14, you see those gifts mentioned again. But then in chapter 13, why did he put in chapter 13, the word of God there in chapter 13, sandwiched between chapter 12 and chapter 14? I tell people it's like a sandwich. You've got the bread on chapter 12. You got the bread on chapter 14 or in chapter 14. And then you have the delicious piece of meat, whatever kind of meat you like in your sandwich. I like a good roast beef sandwich. So I'm going to say there's a great thick roast beef, piece of roast beef right there in chapter 13, talking about that love. Well, that's sort of what he does right here. We've talked about chapter 13. Now, chapter 14, notice the Lord is speaking to his disciples now. Judas isn't around. There's 10 people right here. I should say 11 people here right now. There's 11 people to whom Jesus is going to speak. These are the 11 disciples. Judas, the 12th, took off. He went to betray the Lord. So now in chapter 14, the first thing, after they got all the initial things settled in chapter 13, the Lord's going to tell them about what he's preparing for them. You know how wonderful the Lord is to let us see a glimpse of what he has prepared for us. Now, I know the Bible says, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for those that love him." There's no way we can comprehend what's in store for us. So the Lord gives us a little glimpse right here in chapter 14. Now, there's different things going on. If you have to, again, read over, and I invite you, whenever you read this area, read chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. Please read them all. I think it'd be really, really good for you. Now, notice, and the Lord says, "Let not your heart be troubled." Don't let it be troubled. I've told you that Peter, you're going to deny me. You're going to deny me three times before the cock will crow. And there's one of you has already betrayed me, is going to betray me. And this had to upset the disciples some. Who in the world would betray the Lord whom they had seen do so many great and marvelous things and spoke like never a man spake before? They could hardly believe it. Their hearts were heavy. And so now look at this. "Let not your heart be troubled." In other words, this is life. Now, beloved, don't you get discouraged. You go out and you share the gospel of Jesus Christ, and men and women, boys and girls, whatever the case, whatever you're dealing with, will turn against the very thing that you have presented to them. Don't let your heart be troubled about that. See, he said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." You rest your case in the hands of God. Realize that God is on the throne. He is in charge of everything. He knows the end from the beginning. And he will take care of you. "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." You see, I'm not going to keep anything back from you, disciples. I want you to understand that. I go to prepare a place for you. I'm going to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Now, he says, "Whither I go, you know." I'm going to heaven. "And the way, you know." Now, you notice Thomas saith unto him, "We know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way?" Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." I'm going to the Father. Where is the Father? The Father is in heaven. And I am going to go to him. Now, he didn't make this statement. He said, somebody said, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. He said, have I been so long time with you, and have you not known me? So he says, I'm going to go to the Father. Look over in the book of Acts for a moment. Acts chapter 1. And here's where the Lord has led the disciples out of Jerusalem, and he has them out there on the hillside. He has given them the verse 8, the Great Commission verse. And then verse 9 says, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Christ was going to heaven. He is going to prepare a place for his disciples. And then he's going to come and receive them to himself. Now, beloved, when you think about that for a moment, in 7 days, God created this entire world. 7 days. 6 days, actually. Seventh day, he rested. But he's been gone almost 2,000 years preparing a place for us. Those of us who are saved. And he says, listen, I want to guarantee you one thing. If I go to prepare a place for you, I'm going to come and get you. I'm going to come and receive you to myself. So that where I am, there you may be also. And so he gives to this group of men, first the assurance of his caring for them. He's preparing a place for them, and then he's going to come and take them to that place. Now, when you come to chapter 14 and verse 7, really 7 through 12, he emphasizes the fact that he and the Father are one. You see, the Jews had talked about the Father. Well, Abraham's our father. And then they talked about the Father, God the Father. Well, the Lord was letting them know, letting his disciples know, that I and my Father are one. And that's what I mentioned earlier in verse 8. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, sufficeth us. And Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you? Yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou, show us the Father? So he is getting their attention on the fact that God the Father is who he says he is, and that he and the Father are one. Now, one would only need to go back to the Gospel of John, chapters 5 and 6, and see this really played out by the Lord, explained very thoroughly. But that is not our course of study at this moment. Now, there's something else that happens. Our Lord Jesus Christ presents to these disciples the fact that there's an avenue to him, even though he's going to the Father. What is that avenue? It is the avenue of prayer, verses 13 through 15. He's drawing their attention to understand that you can communicate with me. There's one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. And so he's saying, you can come to the Father. You can come to me. I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm going to come back and get you. But in the meantime, you can come to me through prayer. And so he presents prayer. And by the way, you're going to see that this matter of prayer is not something that just ends with just these couple of verses. You have him talking about this prayer. Well, in verse 27 of chapter 14, he says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. In other words, I'm giving you a piece. Why? What is that? It is what you can do then to contact me by prayer. No seances. That's not the point. The point is that I can come directly to the Father. You know, it's interesting in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13, he talks about the assurance of our salvation. Then in verse 14, he says, the fact that I know for sure I'm saved is the confidence I can have to come to the Father in prayer. And so the Lord Jesus Christ is telling them to pray. Over in chapter 15, verse 7, he says, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. You see, you and I can come before him in prayer. You and I can come to the Father through Christ, and he is that one mediator. You see, and the Lord told his disciples over here in chapter 14, and we have to see that these things fit together for chapter 15. The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Verse chapter 16, he's going to talk about the Holy Spirit bringing to light those things. But over in verse 26 of chapter 15, again, he talks about this Comforter who is the Holy Spirit. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. Well, we're going to look a little bit further into John 14 in just a few moments. May your heart be challenged by this precious song.
Jesus shall reign above.
is Lord of everything. Do we believe that? Oh, I tell you, we can say it. It's another thing to live as though we really do believe that. Well, chapter 14, our Lord has taken the disciples to the school of prayer, and he's showing them that, one, again, we'll go back to that very first part. He is preparing a place for them, and he's going to come and receive them so that they can enjoy that place. That's the first six verses. Then verses 7 down to through verse 12, he's talking about that union between he and the Father. And it's a union that you and I can have. Now, we're not going to be God. We're not going to be Christ. But rather, with a right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, we have communion with the Father through the Son. Then in chapter 14, verses 13 through 15, he talks about this prayer life. And we jumped across into chapter 15, chapter 16, over to 1 John. Prayer is a very important commodity, if you please. It's an important thing in our lives. And what he's trying to get across to us, I believe, is the fact that with all these promises, they are much more secure. And they're not going to happen differently. They are there. But it is a great assurance to our hearts when we can come before the Father in prayer and then watch him work. And so he's talking about prayer. Now he comes to verses really 16 through basically, you could look at basically the end of the chapter, where he's talking about the comforters working, about the peace that they need within their own heart and life, and how that he and the Father will come and make our abode with him. God wants to be working in and through you and me. So he's talking about this spiritual relationship that you cannot conjure up. Now, study Romans chapter 8, and you'll see that the Holy Spirit lives within us to guide us. When you come to chapter 16, in fact, just look back there a moment, when he talks about the Holy Spirit, look at verses 7 and following down through 15. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall speak, he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and show it unto you. He is showing him not only this relationship that is talked about over here in chapter 14, the 16 through 25, but he's talking about this relationship launched out from verse 26 in chapter 14 and now throughout the balance here of chapter 16. The Holy Spirit is working in and through us. When he challenges us to pray, Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 7 says, we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself maketh beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and he presents our request properly to God. I know I paraphrased part of that. I did it purposely. You see, the Holy Spirit takes your prayer request, my prayer request, and though we might bungle around on the words, Holy Spirit says, listen, they really meant this. And he that knoweth the mind of the Spirit, that's God, knoweth what is our prayer request, and he takes it properly and answers it. You see, beloved, you and I cannot pray wrong if our heart is right with God. Oh, yes, we may say the wrong words. We may do some dumb things. But the point is that God is still on the throne and that God will take our prayer request and he will answer it according to his divine will so that his glory will be seen and our benefit will reap the answer to our prayers. So when we come to chapter 16, we see here that the Holy Spirit of God is working within us and really bearing witness that we are the children of God. Then you come to verse 27 through 31. Now, 26, he again, is this fact that the Comforter's coming, verse 16 and 26. But he says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Remember the first couple of verses in chapter 14? Let not your heart be troubled. Don't be afraid. And so he's saying right here, listen, I'm giving you peace. Don't frustrate yourself. Don't worry yourself. Accept my peace. Accept my direction. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye love me, ye would rejoice because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. Again, you have this relationship of Christ and the Father, as you saw over in chapter 14, verses 16 through 25. This is what leads up. That relationship with God the Father, Christ his Son, through the Holy Spirit to us. Then we can bear fruit that will bring glory to our blessed Lord. We'll continue with this thought on next week's broadcast. God bless you, my friend. Thank you for listening. If we can help you spiritually in any way, please contact us. You can contact us at the address WOT@WOTBM.org. Or you can write to us, Message of Truth, 315 40th Street, Altoona, Pennsylvania, 16602. This is Brother Fon Miller. God bless you, my friend.